Just to say, we're going to, God willing, be running through the entire 12 chapters, not today, of Ecclesiastes. Right? The reason, one of the reasons is, it's what God showed me to share, but the other is, it means that at least once in your life, you will have read the book of Ecclesiastes. Right? Because it's one that gets left out. Yeah? And it's so, so important. Well, we've just been singing. How do they do it? These are eagles, by the way, if you weren't aware of it. Yes. How do they do it? Yeah. What do they do?
They ride on the thermals.
They don't flap. They just hold out their wings. But the thing is that the birds are not just holding out their wings and catching the thermals. They're using their senses. They're finding out where the wind's blowing. Right? There's no point standing over the edge of the cliff and thinking, oh well, I'll try it. They'll know whether it's blowing first before they hop off. Yeah? Okay, so they pick up the thermals. They're aware. They don't generate the wind. They don't make the wind rise. It's the morning air as it warms begins to rise and creates those thermals. They sense where the wind's blowing and pick it from there and then just circle around it as it's rising and higher and higher. Dead easy when you know how. Okay? Well, what we're going to be looking at this morning is in Ecclesiastes 3, it talks about there's a time for this and a time for that. Well, we'll see that it's God's times that we're talking about, but you need to key into them. Right? And that's what these eagles are doing. They're keying into God's wind when he's blowing in the right direction. So we'll do that in a moment. But before we go any further, we have the famous Indian rope trick from Brian, right, which illustrates one of the verses we're going to be looking at in Ecclesiastes in a little while. And you're going to read some of those verses for us, Brian, as well, eh? Wonderful. Right, okay, well, I'm going to read from that passage in Ecclesiastes. We'll start from chapter 3, and it's one that you've probably heard. It was sung some years ago on some song, I believe, pop song. It says, there is a time for everything, a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Well, what time is it now, would you ask, yeah? Well, I just want to read one more verse, and that's verse 11 there. It says there, we've sung the song, he's made everything beautiful in its time. He's also set eternity in the hearts of men. So God's the one who sets the time. He's the clock manufacturer. And basically, what he's getting at is that God, it seems contradictory, doesn't he? I mean, you do one thing and then it's the opposite, one thing and the opposite. It seems contradictory, but no, God's got his plan that he's working out, and he uses different things in different seasons to accomplish his purposes. And so, that first line we have, it says, where it says there's a time to be born and a time to die. Well, yes, but what the actual text is saying is it's time to give birth. Something comes to birth in God's plans. And there are other times when he lets things die down. And so, that's one example of it, yeah? So God's at work in all of that. So I'm just going to give you a few examples. So I've got some references there. And we're told that in 1 Chronicles 12:32, have you heard of the men of Issachar? Some of you have heard of the men of Issachar. Well, you can look it up if you like. It says, it's just a little bit of a list of David's men. It says, the men of Issachar knew how to interpret the times, and they knew what to do. Very important. If your soldiers are going in the wrong direction, they've got it wrong. So, that's one of the things. They could sense where God's timing was in these things, like the eagles with the air. But there are other examples we'll come across in that. He says, a time to build, and a time to pull down, and so on. That's one interesting one. And God said that to Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 1, God called Jeremiah, it's verse 10, God calls Jeremiah to be a prophet. He says, I'm going to make you a prophet to the people, to the nations. He says, and you will be the one that tears down and builds up. there are some things that Jeremiah was going to be used by God to tear down, the rubbish, all the backlog of the sinful behaviour of the people. And then once he cleared the surface, he'd then start building with God's foundation. So there's that sort of timing. And I like that one where it says there's a time to weep and a time to laugh. Well, you don't do it at the same, well, you can do it at the same time in some instances, but Paul talks in the letter to the Romans, in chapter 12, he says, weep with those who weep, mourn with those who mourn, and rejoice with those who rejoice. There's a place and an appropriate behaviour in the situation. And, you know, you've got to find that out. There's a proverb. It talks about the man who greets his neighbour loudly in the morning. Well, the neighbour thinks it's a curse. Yeah, it's not a blessing at all to be woken up by this cheerful, hale and hearty neighbour, right? So appropriate is what it's about. And that's the rejoicing. I like the one about there's a time to gather things and a time to clear out. Well, we need to do that with our lofts perhaps a bit more often than our comments as well. But there you are. And lastly, I've got there a time, it says, to love and a time to hate. And you know, as Christians, we are called to hate some things. In Revelation chapter 2 verse 6, God, our Lord Jesus, says to the church there, he says, you hate the practices of the Nicolaitans. I do as well. Right? There are things that we're not to embrace and to love. God says we're to hate the sin and the evil that's in our world. And we're also called to love. As Alex shared with us, we're to love one another. We're to love our Lord and love his word. There's a place for that as well. So all of those things are in God's purposes, and we need to work out how to apply them appropriately as God leads us. Well, let's move on, shall we, to our next one. We have what I've described as the human condition from 9 to 14. Let me just read those verses. What does the worker gain from his toil? I've seen the burden God has laid on men. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has set eternity in the hearts of men, and they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for men than to be happy and to do good while they live, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in his toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it, nothing taken away from it. God does it so that men will revere him. Well, it says he's set making everything beautiful in its time. Well, I thought I'd get you a beautiful picture to help me to appreciate that, you know, what is it about the beauty? What's it meant to convey to us? It's meant to convey that this creator is God who cares and loves and is the creator of beautiful, beautiful things. He's made everything beautiful in his day. Each has its seasons, which is wonderful, isn't it? Each thing has its own season. I know we talk about the flower. It's a beautiful flower, and then it dies, and you think, oh, that's sad, isn't it? But what comes from that is the fruit. Beautiful seeds and fruits, you know. Each has its own place in the purposes of God. He's made everything beautiful in its time. Well, be thankful for that. Okay, then, next one is, there he is. He has set eternity in our hearts. Again, this is one of the, one that the theologians have put in the past. He's made us aware of things bigger than ourselves. What he's done is he's put eternity, there's a longing for eternity within us, you know. When we get older, as we're all doing, yes, you think how quickly time flies and how short life is. And we think, well, if you've got any sense, you think, is this all there is? Because what he's done, God's planted in your heart the realization you're meant to last longer than this body's got. Okay, so he set eternity in our hearts. He's put that desire for the more of what God has got for us. He set it in our hearts, but there's a problem. It says that yet man cannot fathom from beginning, cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. We're completely puzzled by it all. There's a puzzle in this world. What's it all about? Okay? And you can't figure it out. Question mark in the middle. If you try to work out what God's doing and what it's all about, on your own, under the sun, is what we're talking about, you will not do it. You won't come up with the answer. But I've got good news for you. I put John 16:13 there. It talks about when the Spirit comes, he will reveal things. You know, you will discover what the reasons are from the revelation that God has given. This is your map.
It's your guide. It's your wisdom to show you a way to know a relationship with God. That's what makes sense of it. Nothing else will. If you try to figure it all out without the relationship with God and the light of His Word, you'll be stumped. So, poor old chap, what he needs in the middle of there is Jesus with the Bible.
Amen.
Okay? That'll sort him out. Then he'll know he's got eternity. Not just in his heart, but in his entire being. Forever. Okay? So, that's what his, the human condition is. And then we move on. We come to this not quite there. There's a reminder there. I showed you that. He says in verse 12, I know that there's nothing better for men to be happy and to do good while they live, that they may eat and drink and find satisfaction in his toil. This is the gift of God. Did you know that? The fact that you've got the ability to enjoy what you're doing is a gift from God. Yes? Right? Yeah, when God does it, he does it well, but he's giving you the ability, when you're trusting him, to enjoy the ordinary things. It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, I mentioned this last week, but it's true, isn't it? How dissatisfied our society is. You know, you could never have enough. And that's true. You can never have enough of stuff. But God fills your heart to overflowing. Well, next thing then he talks about, verse 15's one. What already has been, what will be, has been before, and God will call the past to account. We're going to pick that up in a moment. And he says in there, in that verse 16, and I saw something else under the sun. And so we have Sherlock. He's playing Sherlock now. He's looking around. I saw this, I saw that, and we'll see in the next couple of chapter and so, the things that he saw. He says, I saw this in the place of judgment. Wickedness was there. In the place of justice, wickedness was there. Well, he's been watching the telly, hasn't he? He's been reading the newspaper. Because it's all around us. There was, I just heard reported, I think it was this morning. I think it's RBS, the banking group, that we own, you know we own it.
Yeah.
Right? Well, they, bless them, right, were set up to help small businesses, to fund small businesses, to help them get going. And what have they been doing? They've been sending the small businesses under to increase their profits. Now, isn't that no justice? There ain't no justice round here. Well, I've got some good news for you. Right? He says here that I thought in my heart, God will bring to judgment both the righteous and the wicked, for there will be a time for every activity, a time for every deed. The day of reckoning is a coming, and nobody is going to get by with it. I find that so satisfying in my heart. I mean, you know, the day of reckoning is where I've been through it as well, of course, but to know that the evil that people do, they're not going to get away with it. And God's going to call all of this to account. So, there may be the little judges that are bent, but there's a big judge above them who isn't, and he's going to sort it out. So, just keep trusting him. Right, so that's what he saw there, right? Next thing he goes on to say is, how about this, I like this. I thought also, as for men, God tests them, so that they may see that they are like the animals. Man's fate is like that of the animals. The same fate awaits them both. As one dies, so dies another. All have the same breath. Man has no advantage over the animal. Everything is meaningless. All go to the same place. All come from dust, and to dust all return. Who knows if the spirit of man rises upward, and if the spirit of the animal goes down to the earth? And so I saw there's nothing better for a man than to enjoy his work, because that is his lot. For who can bring him to see what will happen after him? So he says, these things are happening to test us. That's the man under the sun that's thinking that way. You know, God's testing us to find out what we're made of. But I can say this too. It is a test. How do you respond to life? That's what he's getting at. Because he says, what we find is we look at life and we think, well, we're no better off than the animals. Well, they've come to that conclusion now. Here's the great ascent of man. You notice that? Right? I've added an extra bit to it. You notice the hole at the bottom there? Right? Where are we going? Down the plug hole. That's where we're going. Right? Under the sun, that's when he's come to his conclusion. We're no better off than the animals. Now, I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, this is really important. If we tell people they are no better than animals, don't be surprised if they start behaving like them. Am that's exactly what our society is doing. There's no God, there's no morals, there's no come back. Therefore, do what you like, it's survival of the fittest. Yes? And it means that the ones who are the strongest get away with the most. Yep. So, there you are. Where are we going? He says, who knows if the spirit of the man rises up with or the spirit of the animal goes down to the earth. Well, if you don't know God, you don't know his revelation, you don't know. As far as you're concerned, and this is the way the world thinks today. When you're dead, that's it. When you're dead, you're done for. Right? That's what he's teaching. If you think that way without God, that's all you've got. Once you've breathed your last, game over. Well, I put in a little verse. I've got it there for you. it's a verse I've got. What have I got there? It's from Luke. It's in Luke when Luke talks, it's Jesus telling the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. Remember? Do you remember the story? The man called Lazarus, I don't know if it's on there. Just try the next one. No, it's not there. Yeah. I think I've got the reference. Let's have a look. See if I've got it. No, is the answer to that. But basically, what it was is Jesus, I think it's about chapter 15, it's around about there, 11, 15, somewhere in there. Rough guys, you know. Jesus tells the story, the parable. We're not entirely sure whether it's a parable. It's about the rich man who had everything. He dined wonderfully, sumptuously every day, and there was a poor man, a beggar, called Lazarus, who sat at his gate, and he picked up the crumbs, the dogs licked his sores, he was a pretty pathetic sight, but the one thing that Lazarus had in his favour was, he trusted God, right? And it says that Lazarus died, and it says he was carried to the bosom of Abraham, went to heaven. Right. Chapter 16, verse 19. Yeah, 15, not bad. Yeah. He was carried to Abraham's bosom, went to heaven, and great. He says, the rich man also died. And the next line is, and in hell, in torment. Right. When you're dead, you're not done for. That's not game over. The game's just beginning. And it's not a game. Right. And what Revelation shows you is what Ecclesiastes is trying to convince you of. If you're just thinking without God and his word, you're going to get the wrong answer and you're going to go to hell for it. Yeah, that's the thing. So, where are we going? Well, we're not going that way if we're trusting the Lord. That's the good news. Right, okay, let's move on. It says there, verse 22 is a very interesting verse. I'm not sure whether he's under the sun or not, this one, because it says, so I saw there's nothing better for a man than to enjoy his work, because that is his lot. But who can bring him to see what will happen after him? You don't know what the future is. You know, just enjoy the present. Yeah, well, that's sort of good advice, isn't it? Enjoy the present. That's your lot. Well, without God, I suppose that is. But then I've just got this here. In a way, he's saying what the world says. Keep smiling. Have you heard that joke? Have you? The man said to me, keep smiling. Things could be worse. Yeah. And so I did. And they were. Oh, sorry about that, yeah. Anyway, this is not funny, this bit. This is them going out. First World War. And one of the famous songs of the First World War was, back up your troubles. Well, you won't. You're too young to know this one, yeah. Back up your troubles in your old kit bag and smile, smile. What's the use of worrying? It never was worth it. Right, yeah. Yeah, it's just keep smiling, it'll all turn out right. Well, it don't. Because here's a picture of them coming back. They've got walking sticks and bits and bobs like this. And they're the lucky ones. Yeah? So, if you think that's just keep smiling, enjoy the present, well, no. No. You do enjoy the present when you're doing it with the Lord. Right? If you haven't got God in it, under the sun is not a lot of fun. Right, as we'll see. Let's move on. I saw again. It says in verse chapter 4, this one. I looked and saw all the oppression that was taking place under the sun. I saw the tears of the oppressed, and they have no comforter. Power was on the side of their oppressors, and they have no comforter. That's sad, isn't it? I mean, here's some youngster from Syria at the moment. The evil that people do, oppression is all around. Yes, it's terrible. And here we have people being driven from their places because of either war or famine and things like that. Survival of the fittest. That's what Darwin saw, and that's because he was under the sun. Yeah. And that's how it looks. And he says this terrible oppression. Oh God, will you do something? We pray that, don't we? And he's going to do something, but in the middle of all of this, God can be at work in people's lives.
Yes.
You know, there were people who were saved in concentration camps.
Yes.
Strange, isn't it? Yeah. And, well, there we are, all this oppression that was going on. I said something yesterday morning, and I'm not sure whether it was entirely convincing for some, but I was saying that it reminds me that the church, down the centuries, has become anti-Semitic and chopped the Jews out. The first church was all Jewish, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, did you realise that Malcolm was a shock? Jesus wasn't a Christian. Strange, isn't it? Yeah. But no, he's Jewish. Yeah, he came to save the Jews and the Gentiles as well. But I said that today anti-Semitism has moved to anti-Zionism, and I'm sure some will think I'm getting political, but I'll make my case for you. This is it. That could have been Jews. Yeah? Pogroms, everything else. Chucked out of this country, chucked out of that. The case for Zionism is all the persecution and anti-Semitism. They needed a home. No country on earth would have them. They'll accept them for a while, but they're not us. They don't belong. Chuck them out and kill them when it's convenient. So they needed a land of their own. God had promised them one through Abraham. They're in the right place. That was my soapbox bit.
Hitler tried to eliminate them all.
Yes.
But
yeah. Well, now we know, because God had made a promise. But anyway, there's his one example. And what's happened to them is happening to Christians in Muslim lands now. Same process. Persecution, terrible, terrible. He says, I saw the tears of the oppressed, that they have no comforter. Well, if you've got Jesus, you have. Right? And Jesus says, don't fear what men can do to you. They can only kill your body.
Yeah.
Rather, fear God. Right? He's the one that can. Yeah. Okay, so it's more than survival of the fittest. When you know the Lord, you're in. Praise God. Let's move on then. Right. He says here, I put that down for you. The quiet life. Is that right?
More quiet.
It couldn't be more quiet. Well, that's my reference in Luke now. I found it 16 there, yeah. Because he says this, look at this. Strange, isn't it? And I declared that the dead who have already died are happier than the living who are still alive. But better than both is he who has not yet been born, who has not seen the evil that is done under the sun. And if you don't know God, I mean, it's a pretty good conclusion.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
The dead are out of it, thankful. Out of it, yes.
Saying then is exactly the same thing today.
Yes.
Isn't it?
I'll tell you, Ecclesiastes, you could have taken this out of the news today.
You could, yeah.
So there you are, he says, the dead of earth. Just looked at Lazarus. Some are, but some definitely aren't. Okay, so under the sun's not going to produce a solution there. Let's move on. And I saw, how about this? I saw that all the labour and all the achievements spring from man's envy of his neighbour. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Do you know what we call it? I mean, this is written, 2,000 and more years ago. It's called Keeping Up with the Joneses.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's nothing new under the sun, he was right, you know. Here we have the great motivation under the sun. It's the rat race. Yes. There you go. Outdo your mates. Outdo anybody else. You get to the top of the pile. That's great motivation, isn't it? And I'm sorry to say, if you don't have the Lord, a lot of people are driven by that.
Yes.
Yeah? That's what's driving it. So I was just saying about the banking system. They're there to care for your business. You don't believe them. They're caring for their own little grubby pockets. That's what they're caring for.
Yeah.
And that's the general motivation. I'm not saying they're all like that. But he's saying that is the feel of where things are in this world under the sun. But I put one in there. Matthew 25:40. Jesus says, you know what you do, if you did it for me, he did it to one of these little ones, he did it for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what you do does count if you've got the right motives, yeah? But if you're just being driven by worldly ambitions, friends, it's going to turn to dust. No good. And the next one I think is sad, really. Oh, just one more little bit there, yes. I saw that all labour springs from man's from envy of his neighbour. Verse 5, the fool folds his hands and ruins himself. Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. When he says the fool sits down and doesn't say, oh, it's alright, it won't happen. But it does happen, the fool loses it all anyway. But he says, better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls. The word is fistfuls. Two fistfuls. That's what they're after, isn't it? He's getting his fistful. Right? But if you've got one handful with tranquility, right? More is not always better. Right? Enjoy it. Right, now then, next one. I saw something meaningless under the sun. How about this? There was a man, all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. For whom am I toiling, he asked, and why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This too is meaningless, a miserable business. Well, here it is. It's what I call the driven man. It could be a driven woman as well, of course. Right? He's just work. Is that right? That's what he's doing. And when he goes home at night, he thinks, what am I doing this for? He's on the treadmill, round and round and round the same. And the sad thing is, he has one moment of insight, what am I doing this for? And he gets up the next morning and starts all over again. Friends, what's it all about? Is it just a matter of collecting a pile? There was no end to his toil, and yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. Because eternity was in his heart, and money isn't eternal. Right. Okay, the driven man. Poor, look, I like this chap in the office there. He's got his phone going, his pencils ready, his paper all over the place. Yes. Right. Keep slogging away. Well, there's nothing wrong with work. It's not a curse. It was a gift from God for Adam in the first place. When Adam sinned, it became a curse. Right. But when God's in on it, there could be a blessing in there somewhere. Right, let's move on. What really counts, and this is what Jan read to us, two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up, but pity the man who falls and has no one to help him. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? The one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Well, what he's saying there is, you know, what really counts is relationships. That's what makes us, as human beings, valuable in our lives, what's important. Our relationships with other human beings and our relationship with God. So that really is what makes life valuable. It's not what you've got, it's who you've got that matters. And he says, that's what really counts. I've got my three cord strand there. Not easily. One plus one plus one. Well, it can be God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, if you want to put that in there. But also, he's talking about human beings. Yeah, relationships are strengthened when God's in on it. If you bring God into it, that three chords, third part of the chord is really strong there. Right? And that's what he's getting at. What really matters, the thing that's really valuable, is our relationships. And of course, our relationship with God. That's what matters. If the Lord's in it, and is the Lord in yours, your lives, yes. The relationships that you have, you know? If his blessing's in it, that's good. Right, last little bit. He's just taking his back under the sun for a moment. A little reminder. I thought I'd just have this one for you. Yeah? I'll read it in a moment, and it's a brilliant little passage, this. You notice I've got them in the form of an X. So your boat, you know. Okay? Right. Okay, now some of you who are of an age might not know all of these. Right? Who are they? Any guess? They're Prime Ministers. So let's have a little test for you. Who's this chap? Alan MacMillan. Him. Obscure fellow him. You know? Alex Allen. Douglas Home. Or who? You spell Home, but pronounce who? You know? Right, yeah. He is Fedith. Yes, he's he got us into the common market, you know. Yeah. He lied. Did you know that?
Yes.
He lied to get us in. Yes. That was nice of him, wasn't it? Yeah. Right. Okay, what about him? Dear old John, yes. Well, what about her? You know, he got her out. Right? Yes. And then they went for him.
Yeah. He called them some nasty names,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Right. What about this? Now, what about him?
Brown.
Dear old Gordon. Some you in, some you don't. Yeah. Well, what about him? Howard Wilson. What about him? Jim Callum's nice, right? Jim Callum. Some ways. Yeah, I suppose so. Right, now, what about this one? Tony. Smooth, you know. And this one, really smooth. Our latest one.
David.
Yeah. Well, friends, politics is a noble business when it's done by noble men. Yeah. But let me read this to you. I think this is so, it's funny, but it's not. You know what I mean? Chapter 4, verse 13. Better a poor but wise man than an old but foolish king who no longer knows how to take a warning. The youth may have come from prison to the kingship, or he may have been born in poverty within his kingdom. I saw that all who lived and walked under the sun followed the youth, the king's successor. There was no end to all the people who were before them. But those who came later were not pleased with the successor. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Now then, in all of these stories, they got voted in.
Yeah.
And then they got booted out.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? When they come in and they replace the one beforehand, you know, you don't want old Joe, what you want is me, the young one. I'm celebrity. The flavour of the month, right? And then as time goes on, the flavour sort of wears off a bit. And the next youngster comes up, boots them out. He says, I've seen it all. Here they are. What he's saying is that this worldly advancement and ambition is a very fickle thing, friends.
Yeah.
If you think you're going to build your life on the fact that somebody's going to vote for you for 1 minute, because they won't be voting for you for the next one. Right? Saying it's all meaningless, a chasing after the wind. There was no end to all the people who were before them, but those who came later were not pleased with the successor. Ah, well, there you are. If you talk to some of our young people, you know, they've got all their celebrities and whatever. I just say, who's that? I don't know now. Yeah. And I mention a name and they'll say, who's that? They come and they go, right? Well, it's God's work that's going to endure. Last one, I'll finish with this. Yeah. So what time is it, right? In all of the things that are happening in our world, what time is it? What should you be doing? Well, I've got two verses. One's from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Paul says, now is the day of salvation. Now's the time to get right with God. Now's the time to establish a relationship with God. You do not have yesterday or tomorrow. Today's the day to make those choices. Yeah? So now's the time of salvation. I hope you've made that now some time ago. Yeah? Right? But that's the point. Today's the time, because you don't know what tomorrow may bring. That's number one. And then my other one is Galatians 6:9, which is a great verse, so we'll find it. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, if I've got the right reference. It says this: let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Right. Okay. Well, you know, and I know, that life has its way of being. I read, it was in one of the notes this week, wasn't it? You said, you sort one problem out, and then another one comes along.
That's
how it works, isn't it, eh? Well, thank God we can sort one out, at least. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, but Spurgeon put it very nicely on this verse in Galatians, because the King James Version says, do not be weary in well-doing, because in due time you will reap the harvest. Yeah? Do not be weary in well-doing. And his little comment was this. He says, well, dear friends, we may get weary in well-doing, but we don't get weary of well-doing. You get tired at times. I know we do, yes. And we need to rest and so on. And God gives us rest. But, friends, the time for action is the now. Right? Because that's all that you've got. Doing what God wants you. Seeking His Spirit to know how to work effectively and so on. But that's what we've got. So, there's the clock with no hands on. Yeah, you fill in the hours as you like. Yeah. Okay, so that was a very cheerful little exercise in Ecclesiastes, wasn't it? We've got more of this to come. We looked at the first bit about banging your head against the wall. By the time we finish, you'll find you're happy. Anyway, throughout it all, there are the bursts from out from under the sun with a bit of God light to
show you that he's saying, this is life without God. Leave him out, it's worthless, it's pointless. There's nothing to it, right? But if you bring God into it, it's got direction. You're not going round in circles anymore, you're travelling on a line. Right? And the line has a destination to see him. Let's pray. Loving Father, thank you for your promises. Lord, we don't understand so much around us. Lord, it's far, far too complicated for us to handle. But Lord, you don't call us to handle it. You call us to trust you and to work with you in the things that are in our lives. Help us, Lord, we pray. Grant us your mercies. And thank you, Lord, we're not under the sun, spelled S-U-N. We're under the sun, S-O-N. Lord, in him, oh, it's all so different. We say thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.